Please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, the 1st of September, 2020. Wow, Christy, should we talk about the fact that it's another month?
Oh, it is? I thought we were still in March. I haven't gotten over the spring.
It's September.
Yeah, we're almost into a third season of this. That's craziness. I have to admit something.
What?
I've been spending all of my free time since Monday listening to Stephen King's The Stand book on tape.
By all of your free time since Monday, do you mean yesterday?
Well, maybe it was Sunday that I started. I think I had downloaded its audiobook. I downloaded it. It's like a 47-hour audiobook.
The Stand. Okay. What's it about?
It was written, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s, and it's about a plague that's like a flu that takes down America.
Oh, of course you are.
But it's super compelling.
Okay, and so like what are the similarities to what's happening in our world now?
I'm only on chapter like 18 out of, I don't know, there's probably 70 chapters. I don't know how many chapters are. There's a lot of chapters. You know, I haven't had that much free time yet. Basically, it's this sickness that looks like a cold that's extremely transmissible, and they don't know how to treat it at all, and it's killing people all over the country.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess the idea of a pandemic or a plague is not new, right? It's pretty biblical, frankly, or right. Pre-biblical, right? There's been a fair number of these over the years. I guess I would say that listening to that might be therapeutic for you in some way, right? We were talking yesterday about feel it or fix it, and that we're in this whole culture, and certainly even at the Optimist Daily, we're like, what's the solution? What's the solution? But sometimes we just need to like feel what we're feeling and not always try to fix it. So maybe for you, diving deep into 47 hours of plague audiobook is how you're going to feel it.
Well, it's partly how I feel it and how I process it. And I always forget what a fantastic storyteller Stephen King is.
Oh, unbelievable.
And it's kind of nice to escape into an alternate reality, which is in some ways even worse. And it's like, I mean, it sort of goes back in time also because it's set in the early 90s. That's when I was a teenager. It's like, you know, yeah.
It feels like home.
There's something about, you know, the time before smartphones, time before cell phones.
Speaking of the time before smartphones and cell phones, you know, when I left and went on my mini vacation, I, of course, like unplugged everything and took all of my charging cords. And I haven't been able to find one charging cord for my phone, for my desk, for our little, Christy and I both have these adorable little phone holders. And I'm pleased to report, Christy, I just found a mini dongle. I don't know if it's a dongle, but basically I found something that will make one of my cords work. So I know you've been really worried about the fact that I couldn't charge my phone while sitting at my desk, but that has been solved.
Yeah, that's part of why I couldn't sleep last night, Summers. That's why I had to listen to The Stand.
You know, I knew it was worrying you. I actually couldn't sleep last night because this is really fascinating to the world. One more discussion about me not sleeping and you not sleeping. I also couldn't sleep last night. And a big part was because I had a toddler in my bed who couldn't sleep and was tossing and turning. And my husband joked, he's like, yeah, it was a rough night. You guys were just kicking me all night. And she wanted to nurse all night. I think we're growth spurt, hard to come back from vacation, whatever. But I just looked at my Fitbit and my Fitbit tracks my sleep. And my Fitbit told me I had terrible sleep on Saturday night, that I had terrible sleep on Sunday night, and I felt great on Sunday and Monday, and then that I had great sleep last night. And so I think my Fitbit's lying.
I know. I'm obsessed about checking my sleep quality. I look at my Garmin device to see how well I slept. Like, as if it's going to tell me something that I can't experience on my own.
Exactly. It's not how you feel. It's what your technology tells you. And that is the difference between the stand plague in the 90s and this plague in the 2020s.
Well, what are we going to talk about from the Optimist Daily? Because
is that what we're here to do today? I didn't know.
It's important to feel our feelings and acknowledge the weirdness of the world right now, and that we're all trying to figure out which way is up, and we're trying to figure out what a normal is going to look like. We don't have any idea at this point. We're in this liminal period of waiting to figure it all out. But in the meantime...
Well, I was going to say, why don't you kick it off? Because part of the way that we feel our feelings is often through eating cake.
But we're not going to do a real deep dive on this. I think people should go in and read this. But it's certainly a headline which captures my attention. And the headline is, a Finnish town gives locals free cake if they cut their carbon footprint. Among other things, one of the things you can get with the credits you can earn by cutting your carbon footprint is cake. You can get tickets to buy slices of cake for just opting for public transportation instead of driving or riding your bicycle or doing a number of different things on an app, which they have now put out around Finland called CityCap. And I think this is a fun idea. I mean, I'm a little bit overly partial to cake. I have to limit myself because I could probably eat an entire cake in one sitting if I was given the freedom to do that.
Sometimes you remind me of an old Sex and the City episode where Miranda calls, I don't know, one of the other girls, and she's like, I'm eating cake with my hands. Your love of cake is like my love of chips and French fries. I could eat all the French fries, like all of them. But like switching to healthier food options. Today was kind of a foodie day on the Optimist Daily. There is an article about foods to help you sleep, which we won't dive into, but take a look at that one. The article that I wanted to talk about today is an article from the environment section. The headline reads, not a gram of salmon goes to waste with this new process. I'm a big fish person. I love, love, love eating fish. I don't eat a tremendous amount of other animal products just because I'm not really into the other ones. I can't digest them very well, but fish is completely my jam and salmon is definitely a cornerstone of my diet. But eating salmon's not always actually that green, right? There's a tremendous amount of waste that goes into fish farming. So overfishing, polluted waterways have greatly diminished populations globally. And so if we're going to keep fishing for salmon and if we're going to keep having this be a cornerstone of so many people's diets, let's do it better. As it turns out, only 60% of the salmon's original weight ends up being food. So the stuff that's left over is blood, viscera, trimmings, bones with flesh attached, head, skins, and belly flaps. I was so excited to be able to say those gross words. What these can actually be used for, if they're not just wasted, is animal feed products, minerals, collagen, gelatin, pharmaceuticals, proteins, peptides, oils, etc., etc. The traditional method of extracting some of that oil tends to pretty much destroy all of the other elements that could be used for other products. And these scientists in Norway, led by scientist Rasa Wow, I shouldn't have even tried to say this name. Led by a super cool scientist with a name that's Rasa, S-L-I-Z-Y-T-E, Slights, have come up with an inexpensive lower temperature alternative that causes less damage and produces a higher quality of those oils that are the secondary product, right? So first we have the fish and then the oils, and then there's all the other junk, like all the guts and stuff. So these guts are now available to be made into non-toxic fire retardants, which is, you know, derived from the pure bones. Fish gelatin could meet high demand for gelatin among vegetarians who don't eat pork or pork-related products. Although I wouldn't say fish gelatin is technically vegetarian, but it would be pescatarian, which I kind of consider myself. I love it. I love the idea of how do we use the whole animal, right? If we're going to eat animals, how do we use the whole animal? This is part of what we had with our great interview last week with Ethan Steinberg, where he was talking about, you know, the cuts of beef and ensuring that the whole animal was being used. So I love this. I think the Norwegian scientists are right on it. And I don't know if that's going to happen here in the U.S. anytime soon, but I hope it does.
Well, I think the whole idea of a circular economy where you find uses for what is otherwise considered waste products, right? Because the way that nature works and the way that human beings have in the past used the resources at hand is you really use every single piece of everything. I've been watching the show Alone, which is where people go out into the Arctic wilderness. And if you get a salmon or a fish in on that show, you're going to eat every single piece of it that you can.
Exactly.
You boil those bones and you find use for everything. Waste is it's kind of a modern understanding, at least the kind of wastefulness that we have right now. So I think this is a positive solution-oriented story based on figuring out how to repurpose the waste, the 40% of the fish, which has been just sitting going into, you know, a pile. There's some good stuff there that can be repurposed.
Well, and from a gardener's standpoint, I have always put my fish skin, right? All of the fish skins go into the garden. It's great for roses. It's also sort of confusing for your cats because then they go dig it up and eat it. But there's so much benefit to using the whole animal.
Well, exactly. Speaking of salmon, the next story that I wanted to jump into, which is sort of interesting. The next headline is a new LIDAR technology offers a glimpse into the unexplored depths of our ocean from the science category on the Optimist Daily. And I love this partly because the juxtaposition of this story based on salmon and then LIDAR technology reminds me of a really great series of novels that I read by Julie Cisneda. She's an actual biologist who's also a science fiction author. And in this series of novels, Survival, Migration, and Regeneration, it's based on this super cool female biologist who studies salmon and her best friend who uses LIDAR technology to study marine animals up in the Pacific Northwest. And then they get caught up in this whole interspecies, interstellar saga. So anyway, the story on LIDAR technology.
Yes.
What it is LIDAR, it's a tool that uses lasers to collect measurements, kind of in the way that bats and dolphins and other marine animals use echolocation, right? It uses lasers to be able to collect measurements, kind of get a three-dimensional conceptual understanding of space using lasers, and that's LIDAR. And the oceans, which are hard to penetrate with light generally, that's why so many ocean animals use sound, because sound travels much better under the water, right? And we have got very little understanding of the oceans compared to other parts of our planet. Many parts of the oceans, which is 70% of the Earth's surface, are completely unexplored. We kind of have a good idea of the depths, but we don't really have much more understanding of the ocean in a lot of areas. And LIDAR, using this laser-based tool, it actually is possible to do these measurements underground and also to trace animals under the water. Actually, this book that I was referring to talks a lot about that as well, tracking animals. So I think this is so cool that it's really starting to get into the mainstream.
Exactly. Yeah. The ability to track some of these major events like the algae blooms just really is increasing our ability to explore the most unexplored place on this planet.
Right.
And the more we know and the more we can protect our, you know, ocean, the more we can improve our biosphere and heal this biosphere. So love this story. And I think the mermaids in you and I both want to just be in the ocean as well.
I think so. If we're not eating cake, I think being in the ocean would be a good place to be.
Okay. So other headlines on the Optimist Daily today include 5 years on, many refugees are feeling at home in Germany. It's a great story about welcoming community. Craving a bedtime snack, these 9 foods to promote deeper sleep. I'm going to see if my baby will start eating kiwi. A giant virtual power plant is coming to California to avoid blackouts. 6 ways to take back your motivation. And one of those ways may include listening to apocalyptic audiobooks. Doubling down on diesel, California regulations will slash nitrogen oxide emissions. Last but not least, these U.S. firms are part of a global reforestation effort to plant 1 trillion trees. Oh, and then there's one more. A long-awaited giantess geyser finally erupts in Yellowstone.
Go and look at today's solutions. Look at all of them and get your optimist daily on. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Summers and me be kind of silly this morning on the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please, please, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem solving mindset. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free to all who need it, supported by those who can. Okay, I have one more thing to say. We got an email from a supporter who was asking if the contributions to the Optimist Daily go to pay our writers or if our writers are unpaid. And the answer is yes, we pay our writers at the Optimist Daily. We actually pay everyone on the Optimist Daily team. So yes, our writers are paid, and please help us keep paying them. Thank you, everybody. Have a fantastic 1st of September. It's so funny. My Bixby just picked up and was like, would you like some flowers? Because I said blooms. Ah, phone technology. Everything's so creepy.